Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, economic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Last week, I began a study in Daniel chapter 9, the prophecy of Daniel that Christ would arrive 483 years after a Persian king would issue a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Daniel was told by the heavenly messenger that the years remaining for God's work with Israel would be 490 years. 490 years left to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity. Then comes three positive statements: to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up visions and prophecy, to anoint the most holy place. Now, the reason for discussing these prophecies about Israel is because Jesus himself told us to keep our eye on Israel. In Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, Jesus said that we're to learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he, the Messiah, the second coming, is near, right at the door. Now, the metaphor of the fig tree is not just a lesson that leaves budding mean that summer is near, that there are signs or harbingers of future events. In the Bible, Israel is often referred to as the fig tree. Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, I saw your forefathers as the earliest fruit on the fig tree in its season, and at the beginning of the Passion Week, Jesus cursed the fig tree because it had leaves but no fruit. Matthew 21:19, seeing a lone fig tree by the road, Jesus came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. He said to it, no longer shall there be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Now here Jesus was not retaliating in spite because he was hungry. The cursed fig tree clearly represented Israel. And then later in that same week, Jesus tells the disciples, when you see the fig tree putting forth leaves, you know that my coming is near. That's clearly a reference to Israel being restored before the end of this age, as prophesied in Daniel chapter 9. So this is why the church should look to Israel in regard to signs of the time. This is not prophetic sensationalism. This is sound biblical exegesis. So, let me share a few news items about Israel before we get to Daniel chapter 9. First, on November 18th, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that the Trump administration was reversing U.S. policy and will no longer view Israel's settlements in the West Bank as a violation of international law. Now, remember last year, Trump announced that the United States would recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and Trump moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This is something that previous presidents said they were going to do, but they never did it because once in office, a leftist in the State Department would convince the administration that such a move would upset Muslims in the region, but Trump did what he thought was right. He didn't care how it made people feel. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and the leftist news media became unhinged. Well, this year's gift for Israel is that the U.S. will now support Israel's new constructions on the West Bank. The U.S. is now stating that the Jewish ownership of these lands is legitimate. And you probably didn't hear much about this story in the news, but this is huge, as Donald Trump would say. The previous U.S. policy was to oppose Israeli settlements on the West Bank as if they were against international law. This was not something passed by Congress. The U.S. Constitution allows the president to set foreign policy. In 1978, President Carter decided that the Israeli establishment of settlements was inconsistent with international law. President Reagan, on the other hand, didn't consider the settlements illegal. But then under President Obama, Secretary of State John Kerry stated directly that Israeli settlements were illegal according to international law. But now under Donald Trump, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, a truly Christian man, stated that it shall henceforth be the policy of the United States that Israeli settlements, Jews living in the biblical Jewish heartland of Judea and Samaria, do not by their very existence violate international law. And the point is this. Israel has a right to the land based on the 1917 Balfour Declaration put forth by the League of Nations, by the 1922 Mandate for Palestine, the San Remo Conference, the UN Charter Article 80, the Arab decision to refuse the UN's November 1947 partition plan. Israel has a right to the land because of her victories in the 1967 and the 1973 wars. And the lands Israel is building on were never part of a sovereign state called Palestine. They were lands illegally occupied by the nation of Jordan. But anti-Semitic sentiment has resulted in many political actors claiming that the Israeli settlements are a violation of international law. They just say it without any legal basis for the claim. They say it out of personal preference. Well, President Trump is no longer playing the game. He's overturning the leftist narrative here. In the words of one pundit, this is a paradigm-altering and inspiring decision for which the Trump administration deserves praise. It is manifestly correct, symbolic in its courageous defiance of the groupthink of the ubiquitous anti-Semitic international community, and stakes out a bold moral starting point in the long-standing fight for Judea and Samaria, which is ground zero in the fight for Western civilization itself. In left-leaning legal and political science academic circles, there is perhaps no more agreed-upon truth than the notion that Israel is an illegal occupier that flagrantly tramples all over Palestinian Arabs' rights to sovereignty and self-determination. The Trump administration has just taken a jackhammer to that golden calf of ivory tower idolatry, and it has done so less than a week after the European Union's anti-Semitic decision to specifically label certain Israeli products made by Jews living in the biblical heartland. Unquote, Josh Hammer. Now, one more story about Israel. The Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, has been indicted on corruption charges. This is another story most people are unaware of, but there is a leftist element in Israel that is seeking to oust the conservative Prime Minister Netanyahu by making up corruption charges against him, in the exact same way the left in America is trying to oust Donald Trump by making up corruption charges. The similarities are uncanny. The left in Israel wants power. They control the press. They spread fake news to hurt the prime minister in the polling. Then they report on the polls as if it's the news in order to further the negativity, like saying that 50% of Israelis want Netanyahu to resign. They abuse the legal system. They target the livelihood of their opponents. They threaten witnesses. They invent crimes. They selectively leak to the media. And there is a leftist deep state in Israel, like there is in the United States. It's like the left in the United States and in Israel have read the same playbook. So get power for yourself. Indict the leader you want to get rid of with fake accusations. Isaiah 29:30. This happened in ancient Israel. The left, they are the ruthless who will come to an end. They are the scorners who are intent on doing evil, who cause a person to be indicted by a word and ensnare him who adjudicates in the gate, and they defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. So here's what's happening in Israel today. A coalition of Israeli politicians who want to take the power away from Netanyahu's coalition started the Blue and White Party in Israel. One of the politicians has pursued and charged Netanyahu on 3 charges of breach of trust and 1 bribery count. The charge is that positive press coverage was given to Netanyahu in exchange for Netanyahu doing a favor for the editor. Now, positive press coverage is never considered campaign donations. Otherwise, every news outlet in the world would be prosecuted. But the opposition in Israel is using this as a pretext to indict the prime minister, even given the fact that the positive news reporting never took place. And again, it is so similar to the current impeachment hearings we have here in America, accusing Trump of withholding aid from Ukraine in exchange for an investigation of Hunter Biden, when in fact Ukraine got the aid with no strings attached. In an article by Carolyn Glick, an avid conservative journalist, defender of Israel, she writes, "Netanyahu pledged to fight for his freedom and for the restoration of Israeli democracy and the rule of law. In his speech Thursday night, he made an impassioned appeal to his decent political rivals to join him in the fight. Netanyahu is indicted for crimes that don't actually exist. The message is clear. Every politician is at the mercy of the prosecutors. Fall out of line and you will become a criminal suspect before you can say prosecutorial abuse. It is certainly true that the left shares the prosecutor's hatred of Netanyahu. The Blue and White Party exists to destroy him. But all the leftist politicians and Lieberman who are celebrating today need to understand that the Netanyahu they love to hate is their best friend and defender today. If Netanyahu is found guilty of crimes that were invented for the purpose of destroying him, then their goose will be cooked along with his. Politicians may make us happy or sad, frustrated or infuriated, but today in post-democratic Israel, it hardly matters. Netanyahu called last night for an investigation of the investigators. Unless our elected officials join forces to heed his call, they and the voters who elected them will never be relevant again." Unquote, Carolyn Glick. So Netanyahu is fighting those in the deep state who want the power. Yes, even in this tiny persecuted country of Israel, the size of New Jersey, with a population of only 9 million, the ungodly there are still driven by a thirst for power. And it reminds me of the biblical account of Ahab and Jezebel. When Ahab wanted to take Naboth's farm, Jezebel wrote letters in Ahab's name, and she sealed them with his seal and sent letters to the elders and to the nobles who are living with Naboth in the city. Now she wrote in the letter saying, "Proclaim a fast and seat Naboth at the head of the people. And seat 2 worthless men before him and let them testify against him saying, 'You curse God and the king.' Then take him out and stone him to death." So the men of the city, the elders and the nobles who lived in the city, did as Jezebel sent word to them. They went along with the powers that be to protect their own positions. So this is the age-old tactic of evil. Invent crimes against those you want to destroy. Again, Isaiah, defraud the one who's in the right with meaningless arguments. And this plot against Netanyahu also reminds us of why the Jewish nation fell to the Babylonians in 586 BC due to internal corruption, as we read about in the prophet Jeremiah. And it explains why God took away Israel's freedom and put them under Roman occupation during the days when the Maccabeans ruled Israel. The Maccabean descendants were so power-hungry and corrupt, they brought down the whole country. In their quest for power, they lost their freedoms. And seeing what's happening in Israel right now is a reminder that God is orchestrating Israel's current return to the land, not in their righteousness, but in their sin. Revelation chapter 11, verse 8 calls future restored Israel Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. That is the spiritual state of national Israel when she's first restored. And the majority of Israel today is no friend of God or the Messiah. And it appears from the prophecies that many in national Israel will embrace the Antichrist when he arrives. They will see the Antichrist as the solution for peace. Revelation chapter 11, the people of Israel will despise the two prophets of God who are spoken of to come in the apocalypse. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 9, God will whistle for the Jews and bring them back to Israel. Zechariah 12, 6, Israel will be put into the fire of affliction. Zechariah 13, 2, God will use this affliction to remove the unclean spirit from the land. And Zechariah 13, 8, two-thirds of Israel will perish, and only one-third will be brought through the fire. Refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. Then they will call upon my name. So Israel is back in the land today to be purged and refined. The rebels will be removed, and God's elect will be converted. And this brings us back to the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9. That the prophetic timetable for Israel is for the purpose of finishing the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. That is God's purpose. He will save his people from their sin. And that's what you and I need to be saved from, our sin. And although I'm speaking here about national Israel, as Gentile believers who have been grafted in, realize that all we are experiencing in our personal life today is meant to save us and sanctify us, to finish our transgression, to make an end to our sin, to make atonement for our iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Praise God. 2 Timothy 4:18, to rescue us from every evil deed and bring us safely into his heavenly kingdom. But now let's get to some prophetic details in Daniel chapter 9. You're to know and discern that from the issue of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza moat, even in times of distress. The decree of King Cyrus in 536 BC, allowing the Jews to return to the land of Israel, was a big event. But it was not until another 70 to 80 years later that King Darius of Persia decreed the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple in 457 BC, Ezra 6:8. Now, if the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the arrival of the Messiah is prophesied to be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, a total of 483, then 457 BC plus 483 brings us to the year AD 26, which would not have been the birth of Jesus, but the arrival of the Messiah is a reference to the commencement of his ministry, his public announcement that the kingdom of God was at hand. The Jews at this time knew this prophecy, and that is why there was such messianic expectations in the air in Jesus' day, so much so that Persian scholars, the wise men, were looking for a sign in the sky indicating the Messiah's arrival. But the prophecy in Daniel continues. Then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And here is a surprise every Orthodox Jew needs to accept. The prophecy is that the Messiah will be cut off. The word cut off here in the Hebrew, karath, means a violent death. As in Genesis 9:11, those who died in the Noahic flood were cut down. Or in Numbers 11:33, the Jews who ate the quail were cut down in the wilderness. And Daniel 9:26 says the Messiah will have nothing, meaning in the Hebrew that he will not have what is due him. Israel will not receive him as the king. And this truth of the Messiah not being received was so outside the expectation of the Jews that even Jesus' disciples didn't anticipate the crucifixion, the cutting down of the Messiah. Why? Well, because there are so many other verses about the victory of the Messiah, such as Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. There will be no end to the increase of his government. So these verses about the Messiah's death couldn't be fully explained, so they were ignored. Now, the prophecy goes on to tell us that after the Messiah is cut off, Jerusalem and the temple will be destroyed. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined, which is exactly what happened in 70 AD, after the crucifixion of Christ, when the Romans destroyed Israel and deported the residents. As Jesus foretold in Luke 19:44, they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. And in Luke 21, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that our desolation is near, because these are the days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Well, where were they written? In the book of Daniel. Jesus said, "Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." And in retrospect, we see that all this has come to pass. Now consider how this sounded to Daniel and to God's people in Daniel's day. The temple is going to be rebuilt again, according to verse 25. And then verse 26 says it's going to be destroyed again. Well, that's depressing. The hope of Israel was that she would be back in the land for good, but another exile is foretold. And the Old Testament prophets did speak about another exile and another future return from exile. 1948, the reestablishment of Israel. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. "Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover, the second time, with his hand, the remnant of his people." Now the big question in verse 26 is, who are the people of the prince who is to come who will destroy the city and the sanctuary? Well, the only prince who is to come mentioned in the text is the Messiah, verse 25. And in verse 24, the Jews are called the people. So the text may be saying that the Jews themselves are responsible for destroying Jerusalem. This is all that we have time for today, but all of these prophetic texts speak of God's sovereign control over our times, that God has a plan for this world, and God has a plan for your life. So get with the program. Believe God's word and become obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ so you will be saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off and as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." You have been listening to God and Country Radio, the radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Because of my limited time here, I left off some additional exposition of the Daniel text. You can get that with the extended version of this program at my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when we do not think he will. But we can all be made ready by confessing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.